Good morning. Very telling. When Sue announced my name, everybody cheered. When she said, I'm going to speak twice, utter silence. You know that, in my mind, you have that old Wild Western picture of those, you know, those little, what are they called? Yeah, tumbleweed, going, do-do-do-do-do, psh. I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes now, and I'm going to give you some financial background about River, and where we are finances-wise in River. And then we're going to have a bit more worship, and then I'll come back and do a little bit more talking about generous living, about my journey, and that sort of stuff, if that's okay with you. We'll see how we go. So, I need a little bit of audience participation this morning. So, this is not switch-off time. So, you don't do audience participation. Excellent. Thank you so much. You know what's going to happen to Mark, don't you? See, this little thing here, this is not a microphone. This is power. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about me first. I'm Andrew. I was 48 yesterday. So, and everybody says I'm aging very well, but I don't know, because I don't look in a mirror very often. So I've been married to Linda. I've been married for 27 years to Linda. Linda is part of the leadership team, central team of River. I have two boys. Ollie is 22, coming on 23, and you often see him playing drums in church. And Taylor is 20, and he is one of our young worship leaders. So, and we live in Marlow. We've been in Marlow since 1999, and we love being part of River. I am standing here before you this morning because I and Linda have been on this generous journey. God has only ever spoken prophetically to me about one thing, and that's about making money and giving it away. From the age of 21, everybody who ever prophesied over me said exactly the same thing, just with different words. But it was all basically that. Utterly boring after about the 20th time, but I think God was trying to make a point. So we've gone on this journey about what does it mean to have money? What does it mean to have some wealth, not a great deal, some wealth. What does it mean to live trusting in God? And we've tried to work out that journey, and some of it's worked very well, and some of it hasn't worked very well, and some of it we've been a bit too conservative, some of it we've been a bit too exuberant. But we all learn, and we're all on a journey. So, I just want to ask you a question. So this is where I need a bit of audience participation. This is not a trick question, right? This is a serious, sensible question. If you are part of River Church here today, rather than just visiting, and you consider yourself to be a committed member of the church, would you put your hand up and keep your hand up for a second? It's not a trick question. Absolutely, honestly, it's not a trick question. Okay, have a look around. Excellent, thank you. Please put your hands down. Okay, why am I doing what I'm doing this morning? I've been asked to talk to you about the finances of the church. I've just taken over the role of treasurer of River Church. Sounds really boring. Hopefully it won't be. The leadership of Maidenhead have asked me to present this to you. I did this at the church's annual general meeting, if that's what it's called, about a month or so ago. I'm going to do it all into pictorial form for you, so it makes it really visual rather than numbers, because numbers just get really boring. Why are we doing this on a Sunday morning? Well, this is about family. This is about the family business we're all in called church. This is your church. You give to the church. This is all part of what we do. It's family business. And one of the things that I am determined to try to promote in my role as treasurer is transparency. There's nothing to hide about what we do in church finances, where your money goes. It's all very open. It's very easy for people to think it's not. But one of my jobs is to try to generate that whole concept of more and more transparency. So what I'm going to do in the next 10 minutes or so is to present you with some statistical facts. Okay, so this is not my opinion. This is not conjecture. These are statistical facts. So let's see if it works, eh? Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I'm going to show you some graphs and stuff like this. So first graph there. This gives you an idea of how much money the church is receiving in your giving over the last 5 years or so. So if you look at those numbers at the top, you basically see that church giving's gone down fairly consistently for the last 5 years. Not great, But that's what it is. Yeah, we've been going through a really difficult time. Country's in recession. People are losing jobs. People that are running their own businesses aren't making as much as they used to. Giving's gone down. So break that down by congregation. The green numbers there are yours. There they are, the Maidenhead giving numbers. And what you can see there, if you take that over those 5 years, is that 2007 was a fantastic year, and then giving in Maidenhead dropped like a stone in 2008, but has been relatively consistent since then. Okay, Marlowe's giving, virtually identical, dropped like a stone. Well, it hasn't dropped like a stone, but it has reduced by a similar amount. And the Slough and the Journey congregations have actually been increasing their giving fairly much year on year for the last 5 years. So that tells you where we're at. What it means is that 5 years ago, we had £380,000 coming in. Last year, we had £330,000 coming in. That's quite a big difference in money. That's a big drop. Now, let me just be really clear here. When that little thing at the top says foundation income, what that means is the money that you give to the church, which is not designated for something specific. So if you're giving money to Larchfield, that is classed as designated giving and falls outside of this. So this money that you're giving that is undesignated is basically for the core running of the church. Okay? Okay. Let's see if we can keep going. Yay. Right, this is the best slide in the world and the worst slide in the world. Okay? What this does is it breaks down who's giving what. Not by name, because I'm never going to do that ever. Okay? I will not expose anybody. But what I wanted to do was to try to find out who's giving a lot, who's giving a little. Maybe even it would tell us why people are giving. I don't know. But let me put these numbers to you. So this is last year's giving broken down by household. It was very difficult to do it individually, so we decided it was just easier to do it as households. That nice green slot on the right-hand side is the... These can be slightly emotive words, so please forgive me. The blue. The blue one on the right-hand side, the big slug. Did I say green? I am sorry. Thank you. The blue slug on the right-hand side was the first 25 households in River. Okay, and again, let me just be really clear here. We're talking here about giving by volume. Okay, I'm making no statement about generosity. I'm talking about giving by volume, amount of pounds. Okay, to River. This is to River. Okay, so the first 25 families represent that blue slot. They make up 11% of the giving households in the church. And last year they gave 46% of the church's income. Okay? Move around to the... I'm useless at colours. Would we call that red? Okay, move around to the red. That's the next 25 families in the church by volume of giving. They also represent 11% of the giving families in the church. And they gave 24% of the income. So, first 50 families, blue and red, okay, have given 70% of the income of the church, represent 22% of the households in the church. Okay, so we've got some people who have been exceptionally generous. Okay, let's move around the screen. Oh, sorry, I thought, yeah, green one. Okay, we've now dropped it down to all of the other blocks there are blocks of 50 families. Okay, so if you added them all up, it's something like 232 giving households in the church. Okay, next block represents 50 families, so 22% of the givers in the church, and they gave 23% of the income. So we find that our first 100 families in the church have given 94% of the income. But I just said we've got 232 families in the church. Okay, so you see that purple and then the other green one, sorry, the other blue one, top left. That represents 56% of families in the church, and they gave 6% of the income of the church. Okay? And if you want to break those two down, which I will do with the next slide, Right, I had to put this one back in numbers, I apologise. So again, I just want to be really clear here. We're talking about giving that is undesignated, so it's foundation giving. We're talking about giving specifically to River. We're talking about giving by family's household, and we're talking about giving by volume. Okay? So that just breaks those numbers down again in a slightly different format. So the numbers I've given you represent the two middle columns there. Those two columns on the right-hand side give you an idea of averages. So that first 25 families in the church who are giving 46% of the income, the average giving from those families is £500 a month. And if you wanted to be in that group of 25 families, the 25th family is giving £320 a month. That's right, yeah. So that gives you an idea, and you can walk across all of those numbers. So what it shows you is we've got some families in the church who are being exceptionally generous, and we've got some families in the church who are actually giving very little to the church, may well be giving outside of that, may well be giving designated, but in terms of core undesignated giving. And I think that shows some really interesting stuff. It shows that I've got a lot of work to do in trying to encourage people to give. And it also generates some questions about why. Why have we got to the position we've got to? I know that for me, I got taught a certain way to give when I was 18 or 19, and that's the way we've tried to live our lives. So I think it is sad that we've got a lot of families, you know, with 130-odd families who, on average, are giving a couple of magazine subscriptions worth of money a month. Because I think it just generates a lot of why questions. But as I say, hopefully we can answer some of those in the coming time. Let me move on, and that just gives you a little bit of breakdown as to how that money comes in. Most of the money comes in regular gifts, monthly standing orders, that type of stuff. The government's very kind that we can claim back tax on giving that you make if you're a taxpayer. So that ends up being quite a big chunk of our return as overall giving as well. Just showing those numbers a slightly different way. So let's just move on and look at our foundation expenses. And that is simply how much does it cost us to run the church on all the different things that we need to run the church, offices, salaries, congregations, all of that sort of stuff. And what you see is that over the last 5 years, those numbers have dropped, and they've dropped year on year because our income has been going down, and therefore they've needed to drop. Last year, they went up quite substantially. Two reasons for that. One was because of the structural changes that River's gone through in the last year, going from a charitable trust to a different legal structure that actually required quite a bit of legal work being done. The majority of that increase was related to leadership changes, Kristen going, Colin coming on board. So both of those were one-off costs, won't be repeated. Now, I don't know, those of you that are mathematicians in the room will have worked out that actually those expenses are greater than the income virtually every year. Gives us a slight problem. That graph just breaks down how the very basics of how we spend our money, whether it be in congregations, shared ministry, which is sort of the more central type of stuff, missions, and then support office, all of that sort of stuff. Okay, of that number, that graph that you can see there, we spend about 55% or so of your giving on paying people's salaries. Church is a people organisation. Therefore, we need people to run the organisation. Can't do it any other way. Simply wouldn't work. Now, let me just compare that to you very quickly, for you very quickly. If you looked at another non-profit organisation, take the NHS or something like that, as obviously the biggest one in the country, the NHS spends about 67, 68% of its annual budget on salaries. So if we're looking at another caring organisation called River Church, if we're at 55%, we're actually not doing too bad. Let me break that down for you a little bit further in terms of salaries. Specifically, right, you'll see on there that actually we've actually put up there who earns what money. Okay, I've talked to all of the people who are on ministry staff this year. They've all agreed to have that there salaries divulged for one simple reason. We believe in transparency. Okay, two sets of numbers there. The three columns on the left-hand side were last year's numbers. The first column there with the numbers in it shows you full-time equivalent salaries. The second column shows you the number of days those people actually worked for River last year. So you can see that last year we only had one person working for us full-time, and that was Kristen. Everybody else was working part-time. The number in the third column there, the middle one, is actual salary, what they actually earned for those number of days a week. The three columns on the right-hand side show you what the situation is for 2012, so we have some comparison. And again, we only have one person working full-time for the church. Everybody else is working part-time. A lot of those people are donating time for free. So, again, we've got salaries in there. We basically have a very simple salary structure. Colin, who is the leader of the church, earns more money than anybody else. Congregational leaders and all other central team members who are paid and on ministry staff employed are all paid the same. Again, let me just be really clear here. These numbers represent people who are employed by the church and who are on ministry staff. It does not cover those that are working in the office, and it does not cover people who are on central team and donate all of their time for free like Jan does. Okay? The other thing I wanted to do is to give you an idea of whether we get value for money. Horrible word, I know, but it's been raised before, so I wanted to talk about it, from the people who are employed by the church. And I thought the easiest way for us to be able to do that was to give you an idea of how much time, in addition to the salary they earn, they volunteer their time for River Church. So last column there, that's the amount of time per week each of those people who are paid volunteer their time for River. Now, let me just make a comment that says this. Those numbers were given to me by the people involved. So Kerry told me how many days a week she considers that she volunteers for River on top of the salary that she's paid. I know she's lying. Okay? All of them have given me numbers below what they actually donate in terms of volunteer time in the church. I can guarantee you that. So, my opinion, you can disagree with me. I'm very happy for you to disagree with me. My opinion, we get a lot of value for money out of the staff that work for the church. If you add those numbers on the right-hand column up, they come to 12 days a week. That means we pay for 60% of people's time that they give to the church, and they donate free 40% of the time that they give to the church. And it's my estimation that fairly much all of the time that is donated to the church is well used. They are all run off their feet, my opinion. But as I have a wife that is one of those, I have some understanding of the time commitment that's required. Okay, last slide, and then I'll sit down for a few minutes. This gives you an idea of totals. So those numbers we talked about earlier in terms of foundation income, foundation expenses, they're the numbers on the left-hand side, what are called general there. And again, shows you we have spent more than we've received. The column in the middle is designated. That is specific stuff that people have given that we're doing, things like Larchfield, things like Congregational Weekends Away, Big Year, stuff like that. And then we have restricted, and also a lot of mission stuff is in that as well, that people are giving to. And then we have some restricted funds as well that we have available for giving to very specific things, and they've been designated. They can't be used for anything else. But as you can see, all the green columns, which is the money we spend, are all larger than the blue columns, the money we receive. And that has been fairly consistent for the last 4 years. So as you can see, that creates a bit of a problem for us because we're spending more than we're getting in. Now, let me say a couple of other things. The first one is, since I've taken over this role as treasurer, I have taken a fairly detailed look at what we're spending our money on. And other than one thing that I'm working on at the moment, it is my opinion that we have cut our costs to the core or to the bone. There are very few other places we can cut costs to save any more money unless we start laying staff off. Now, I don't know about you, but when I listen to the leadership talking about their vision for the future, it is one that is expanding rather than contracting. So that gives us a slight problem in terms of money and vision. And somewhere we've missed something. We've missed something in terms of committed giving to the church. We've missed something in terms of generosity. And please, I'm talking specifically about money here. I'll move on to generosity of other things when I talk later on. We are drawing down the reserves that we have left in the church. And if we keep on this way, we won't have any reserves left in a not too distant future. So my request, these are facts. I'm not stating opinion. I have not used these numbers to conjure something, to make up a nice story. This is what is actually happening. My request is, please be generous. And please be generous to the church that you believe in and are committed to. Let me tell you how easy this would be, okay? If every single giving household in the church at the moment increased their giving by £20 a month, we would resolve all of our problems immediately, because that would give us another £65,000 of income a year. Now, £65,000 sounds a lot when you break it down at £20 a month, and I appreciate for some people £20 a month will be a lot of money. For others, it will mean nothing, and that's just the reality of life. But that's not a substantially large number. A decent proportion of us could probably take £20 out of our wallets or purses now and wouldn't know it's gone. It's not a major difference to where we are now. But that would have a massive impact on the deliverables that the church can do, deliver, give. And it would also make the ability to grow church substantially easier. Okay? So, that's the facts. Sorry, I hope that hasn't bored you. But I do want to... We are really keen to try to be upfront with you about the church finances. We want to let you know the situation that we're in. And we want you to decide what you want to do about that.